Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We were the only team that didn't have a coach. We had a voice.
There's a lot behind that story.
Then you had another coach suing the
Cavs. Let's go ahead and share what's behind that story.
I'm not getting into it.
We have you on here for the truth, and you won't even share the truth. Come on.
We had accusations of age discrimination.
And then they went and hired John Beilein.
Well, that is a great point.
Talk about an overcorrection.
That put an end to that lawsuit.
I never heard
of that again.
I didn't even think of that.
Wow. Well done, Cavaliers.
They went. Well, Hubie Brown turned them down. You know, that's the problem.
Well, I didn't even realize that. I forgot all about that lawsuit. And then, like, hey, when I'm on Beilein. All right. 216-578-0092. Again, 9 o'clock around the AFC North. 903, your chance to win $1,000 in the Big Skin Payout of National Contest right here on 92.3 The Fan. Are the Cavs, year two of the Cavs rebuild starts tonight. Is the rebuild going the right direction? Do you, as a Cavs fan, do you believe? Because if it does, you got that top 10 protected pick. So, even though you don't want to do it, you'd never want to bet the under. I guess you do have to kind of pound the under to make sure you get that top 10 protected pick to make sure, because then you would have Colin Sexton, you hate Colin Sexton, I know. We'll see what you have with Darius Garland, who a lot of people are excited about. If Kevin Porter Jr. could get it going and keep his head out of the clouds, that kid's shown some stuff.
Yeah, he's not going to be effective this year.
So if you have those three guys, then you add something at the top end. I don't know how good you are in the future, but at least maybe you start to contend for playoff spots and things like that over the next few years. It's light years away right now. Maybe I'm just talking out of certain orifices to Jason, but do you feel the rebuild is going in the right direction?
I think they're doing what you were supposed to do. I mocked any Cavs fan last year that was like, we got to try to win this year. I'm like, what? You had a top 10 protected pick. What are
totally
you doing?
Agree.
And by the way, they have it again. They have another top 10 protected pick. So it's vitally important.
Don't they lose it at the end of this year, though, if they don't get a top 10? Or how's that work?
It becomes a second.
That's a big issue there. You get the pick, but technically you lose that top 10.
You know, there will be discussion going into next year if they want to throw some money around at some of those free agents that some teams are going to be capped out. They're not going to be the top free agents. You're not ever going to get the top free agents unless you ever get another, like, LeBron James figure. So there's going to be some question about the direction, you know, at the deadline this year, what you're doing with Kevin Love. But I think in terms of how a team like the Cavs have to build when they have no assets, you have to get assets. Well, how are you going to get assets? You have to get your picks. The only way to do that is to have some painful seasons and hope you knock some of those picks out of the park. It's the only way.
Jason?
Yeah, they've got five expiring contracts, though they're not going to be here at the end of the year. I could argue none of the five should be here long-term. Jordan Clarkson, Delly, John Henson, Tristan Thompson. They're going to be moved throughout the year, bundle them, and you're trying to take on more bad money. The Cavs are touting that they've got $50 million in cap space next year. That's great. Number one, there's no one great to spend it on. Number two, as you said, nobody's going to come here. So it's not like this is going
to
be...
You have to overpay that next level.
And then what are you going to do? And then you're going to be a 500 middling team. So for all the talk about get through this year and we're going to have all this cap space next year, I don't see it. This is going to be a long, long rebuild.
Well, when you say long, like are we
5 years.
You're thinking Philadelphia 76 are long.
3 to 5 years.
Because that's what that was. That was a 5 year. Everyone got fired.
They normally
is
do.
Is it a rebuild? I worry about Kobe Altman, especially now with all the questions at the top with ownership still. There's going to be, well, how long is Kobe Altman going to be there?
Yeah.
Are you going to switch that type of thing? are these guys. I don't need Colin Sexton. Darius Garland, you need one of these guys to be a primetime player. I'd like Colin Sexton to work out well, but he was eighth overall, right?
Yep.
So I think people look at eighth overall and they are signing because maybe they were caught in football mode and the Cavs hadn't been a team that drafts near the top of the draft for a while there. Maybe they're expecting some greatness out of Colin Sexton that's not usually seen at eight overall. If they were drafted number one overall, then I think you could put that in there. So I'm not expecting him to be crazy. I'd like Darius Garland to grow well this year. But if we get to the point where you just said 5 years, well, where are they at? Because if they're not there, then I'm just this is always a scary thing because I want to have faith in them, and I don't know how long the general manager is ever going to be around, and I don't want to become the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Because the Sacramento Kings, they've done it, just like you said, by the book, for 20 years now.
Well,
and they're just not a contender. They're not a thought. Phoenix, basically, is the same thing.
Dan's never given a GM a second contract. That's well stated. We went through that a lot. Not even Griff, who won a championship, could get a second contract. There's a lot of people who feel like Kobe's going to be the first one to get it, that Kobe will get a second contract.
Well,
a lot of people feel that.
The reality is, no matter what is going on, the only way that this can get turned around, that they can expedite this process, they have to draft a superstar.
Yeah.
That's the only way it's going to happen. They're not going to trade for one. They're just not going
to
do that.
And it's hard for the point guard to be that superstar. It's hard for the point because the position he plays, it's hard for him to be the number one on your team. He could be a point guard. We saw that with Kyrie. A point guard can be a great number two, a terrific number three, but to be the number one option on a team, it's really hard for it to be a point guard. Typically, those teams don't have a ton of success. Typically, there are exceptions. So even if Garland hits, you still need a wing type dominant superstar.
And look, there was Philly went the way of taking an oversized point guard in Ben Simmons, and that is
hasn't
not
worked.
It's not trending in a good direction at all.
What are we going to be impressed with John Beilein this year? Will there be something we're impressed with?
That he has any voice after he yells at everybody? He yells the entire game.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Cavs.
I told you weeks ago, everyone was saying, oh, he doesn't yell in practice. Well, apparently he yells in games, too.
Oh, yeah, he does.
What are we going to be impressed with that he survives the season? Like, seriously.
We're
talking about 60 losses. The man hasn't lost 60 games in the last 5 years.
You just said that he would not get fired.
He's not getting fired. No.
So you might the losing could be so bad it could cause him to walk away.
I just mean for him, it's going to be you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know it until you go through it. And losing that many games in a season is taxing on you.
All looks good on paper.
Who the hell gave you that quote? That's a hell of a quote.
What?
What you just said. I can't even put it together.
You don't know what you don't know?
Until you go through it.
I don't know. I made it up.
Well, that's pretty good.
I can't believe he took this job.
I'm surprised too. I'm a little bit surprised too. Because
will he even be around to see the other side of this thing?
I don't know.
216-578-0092. We got people getting in. Is rebuild going the right direction for you? 9 o'clock around the AFC North, and the league is picking on Odell again. Jason Lloyd joining us in studio right now. I'm kidding. Let's go to the phones. 216-578-0092. Is the league picking on Odell again, and how does Odell get after him? That coming up in just a moment. Right now, it's Joe in Twinsburg. Is the rebuild for the Cavs going the way you thought it would go? Joe, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning. So I think Cavs are kind of doomed. I mean, I think if you're going to model their rebuild, you want to look at like Milwaukee, where they've spent several years rebuilding. They got right now one of the best players in the league. They've been pesky in the playoffs for the last few years, and they're going to have their run now for probably two more years. But they are going to be doomed because they're not going to be able to attract free agents. Also, and I look at the Cavs and I go, you know, we had LeBron here. He couldn't get free agents here that could keep us going. And he ended up leaving. I don't know how the Cavs are going to get a free agent here in the future. They're going to do just what they're going to draft high. They're going to get a couple good guys. They're going to catch a couple flyers. They're going to continue to be pesky and good. They're going to have their run, but then they're going to have to reboot again. And, you know, the NBA right now is about the free agents. Teams are getting two guys. Everybody gets two guys. Cavs aren't going to be able to do that. They're going to be a farm team for the next two-guy team.
You said this last year.
You can even look at the New Orleans team. They couldn't do it. They decided to go this way. Now they're going to rebuild with young guys and try to make a run at it. I think Cavs are doomed. I just don't think they're going to get out of this.
All right, Cavs basketball tonight's tonight. Joe, thank you very much for the call. You said this yesterday, by the way. What Joe just said, and I made a joke at the end being facetious, but You, right there, you said it last night during the player empowerment ceremony.
This is tough.
Or the player empowerment thing from TNT.
Oh, so they ran it. Here's what happened. Last night, they run this package. Dwayne Wade is now part of the TNT crew, at least until the Lakers pick him up, you know, at some point this year. He was a part of the crew, and they ran a beautifully done five-minute essay, essentially chronicling how the league is changing and how it's player empowerment. And the players have seized control from the owners, finally. After all these years, and they dictate where they get to go. And I watched it, and I said, wow, that was really well done. And Dwayne Wade was up there going, this is what it's all about. This is why we love this league. This is why the fans love this league. And I'm thinking, this is the most tone-deaf thing I've ever seen in sports. It really is, because this will end up hurting them in the long run.
You seem like a bit of a flip. Not flip-flop's a strong word, but what the hell? That's what we do here. Because there was a time where you really agreed with that, like players and ratings and things like that. But the ratings have been down. And I do think that it affects the regular fan. I think a guy like, Kenny's got money. He's got kids that he could take to a basketball game. He's not interested in any of the current Cleveland Cavaliers. And why would he want to go see LeBron James?
Well, Delly. He'd like to see Delly.
Okay, maybe he'd like to see Delly once. That's it. So how am I going to build a real fan base? If it's always going to be the way that Joe says it, that you're always going to be a farm. Because the Indians, you know, people could, well, the Indians are, or you know what, the Royals used to be that way. The Royals were a farm team for the Yankees in the 70s and everything. You can still find guys and compete no matter what. I know we don't have as much money to spend as the other teams, but you can still be a competitive team. That's why people are mad at the Indians right now. With the Cavs, if it's a players' league, and I keep getting told all these players don't want my money, when I have a ton of it to spend, when I've proven that I'm willing to spend even into the luxury tax, if you don't even want my money, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, ironically, Jay, you said this. You said, well, wait, can't more teams win the title this year than ever before? And I said, yes, that is true. That's absolutely true. This year seems like a wide open. I think this could be an anomaly year, but this seems very wide open, kind of like it seemed wide open that first year we had LeBron, and we thought we'd be competing with the Spurs. And instead it was this plucky upstart Golden State Warrior team that no one had really known anything about. I think that kind of parody is interesting, although we always remember the dynasties. However, I think when this Paul George, everyone talks about Kyrie wanting out 2 years. The Paul George thing is the most offensive of all. Paul George seemed like different from the rest. He was going to go to Oklahoma City and he signs a contract and you know, this guy just loves it there and loves. And then what did he do behind the scenes? Get me out of here. 1 year in. 1 year in to a max deal. When you start doing that, you lose the fans completely.
Well, you just said Kevin Love could probably be traded this year, 1 year into a max deal.
Yeah, sign a contract. Yeah, Beal. Everyone's talking about Bradley Beal and his contract.
Yep.
It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I don't have as big of an issue with it because what's the alternative? You want players to say, okay, I'm going to stay in this small market on this crappy team because why? Why?
You're saying they should have the...
Well, they should have the...
But I'm just saying that fans will not connect with that.
I understand
But you'll still have a Love. Hell, we're talking about Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas was on a crappy team for a long period of time. He was the only shining thing on a crappy football team, and we loved him for it.
It's hard to win, but you still have probably a five-year window where you got to get it right. It's the same thing in baseball with no salary cap and the way the Indians have to compete against the Yankees.
But
it's the same thing in the NBA. You've got a very small window, but you can do it.
Let me ask you this. Is this what you're trying to put out here, Anthony? Because, and I would agree with you, that you at least have to trick fans, not trick, but you at least have to let fans believe that their team is going to have a chance someday. Or you're going to hurt your own business, won't you?
And I think the reality is, unfortunately, the way these players think, they have their markets they want to go to. Cleveland has always been that way, okay? We know that.
Yep.
And we're so fortunate. Say what you want about LeBron. We're so fortunate that he grew up around the corner and they drafted him overall. And then decided to come back, despite all the flaws of what they did.
If he grew up on Livernoy Boulevard in Detroit, he would not be wanting to stay here.
Nope.
No, I know it's hard. I have to look at the NBA going forward as kind of the traveling circus. You go see the best athletes in the world. You enjoy going to see them because you get to do that. They all come to your house. They come to your house maybe a couple times, some of them, and that's it, especially when you're in a rebuild like the Cavs are in.
Yeah, the caller earlier, I think, mentioned the Bucks. The Bucks got incredibly lucky, obviously, on Giannis. They took Giannis, I forget now, I think 13th, and he's the top three player in the game today. That doesn't happen very often. You got to get lucky. You have to draft well, and then you have to find a Kyrie who a guy's at the end of his deal who wants out, and you're willing to take the risk on him for a year or two, like Oklahoma City did with Paul George. That's how the Cavs are going to get a star. It's going to be a guy at the end of his contract who says, I've got a year or two left, tells the organization he's with, I'm not going to re-sign here, and the Cavs roll the dice and take a chance and trade for a guy like that. That's your best chance. It's not...
That's still not even the best.
No, well, it's...
It's your best chance, I understand.
It's your best chance, but yeah. It's not a good chance.
And even with Giannis, Giannis has become this hope, and I'm just already starting to resign my fact.
He ain't going
to
stay in Milwaukee.
Because he seems like such a nice guy.
He ain't staying in Milwaukee.
And it seems... You're exactly right. It's just what it is.
Yep.
Because I'm thinking, man, he seems like such a nice... He seemed like, of all the guys, he might break that trend. And I'm going, someone's going to get a hold of him, talk business to him.
Yep.
There's a long season. If they end the way that a lot of teams end, where if they don't get to the finals, he's going to be pretty frustrated. There's going to be a lot of talk around him. Someone's going to upset him. And already, and we do this as a media. We do start to push these type of things to get people talking. It was at the end. He didn't even walk off the floor last year at the end of that finals, Eastern Conference Finals series. And it was already being put out there that he was planning on leaving.
And that came from his camp.
Yes.
You can blame the media for pushing it.
I know
the story you're talking about. I know where it came from. It came from his camp.
We always get him talking. You're right. And it's like, man, I want him to stay.
But it's not out of thin air. It's coming from his camp. It's coming from his people.
I know. But it gives me hope as a Cavs fan if he were to stay in Milwaukee.
Right.
And that's false. I know that's false and not realistic. But I think that they would go, well, Giannis stayed. Maybe we can get a guy who wants to stay here doing all that. Because you hope. You're a fan.
It's just like they already lost Malcolm Brogdon, who was sensational for them. And I just don't think they get better unless Giannis just makes another leap.
But
he's already made one.
But again, Milwaukee built from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And they got incredibly lucky in the draft. Philadelphia tanked 4 years. But here they are, one of the top teams in the East. They've got a shot. It can be done. But the window is very small. Very small. Because by the time, you know, if Darius Garland pops the way you think he's going to, by the time this team's ready to press go, he's probably got 2 years left in Cleveland. So it's a very finite, small window.
Get to Daryl and Parma. Daryl, you're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, I mean, we know the Cavaliers are in a rebuild situation, but what bothers me about their rebuild is that the organization has a mindset of doing stuff back in the past. They're bringing back these old uniforms to wear occasionally. We need to move forward with a mindset of being positive. Those Swiss uniforms are ugly. They're ridiculous. I mean, I know that.
I don't like them either.
Your screener said
ones?
You know, so that's a Nike thing. And at each team, you know, has a throwback. But at least wear the 90s. Wine and gold more instead of that Swiss.
Well, I have said this, Daryl.
I hate those jerseys.
Cavs don't seem to care. Cavs don't seem to care. They didn't even have, when you think the Lakers, purple, gold, end of story. Celtics, we know what they are.
Totally agree with you.
All right, the Cavs have never had an identity. It's been how many
years?
I
totally agree with you.
That they've been in existence, and they have never. They're like the Sacramento Kings.
They had LeBron. And outside of LeBron, they have not had an identity. They switch their jerseys up every year. They switch the court up every year. Like, there's nothing that is at least a standard that people can go to. It was like when the Browns changed their jerseys, I told you, you did not believe me when I said this to you back before they changed the jerseys. When you had the original jerseys, it was a little bit easier for them to lose the way they did. When they switch their jerseys, you're looking down there from the 500s, and you've had a few. That ain't your team anymore, and now you're changing out the other thing. There is a disconnect there, so you don't have an identity. And what happened? People stopped showing up as much. You lost a lot of your fan base at that showing up to the building when they were – if they would have been tanking in the other jerseys, I don't know what would have happened, but you had more apathy than I've ever seen in my entire life when they were in the new jerseys. When you have something like that, something as simple as colors and just what you stand for as an organization – can keep people around. The Knicks, they don't switch it up that much, and the Knicks are a terrible disaster and a horrific franchise, and I can't say anything more because if the owner ever hears this, I'll end up getting sued by them. So I can't even say anything more about it. But still, there's Knicks fans seem to still show up. They still seem to hope. Like, there is tradition can help, and just switching back and going nostalgia. Well, you were nostalgic for those jerseys for, what, 3 years? Then you went to another one. And now you have 16 different combinations anyway where the owner tweets out of different combinations and people believe him when he's joking, like what happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, winning helps tradition more than uniforms, but I understand what you're saying. But that's part of, like, Dan loves shaking things up. His company's called Quicken. Things happen fast around there.
That's true.
So,
216-578-0092. William and Pepper Pike. Now, you know it's basketball season when William gets in. Hello.
Yeah, hello there, fellas. I just wanted to know, I know Dan Gilbert has some health concerns and issues, but a few years ago he was about ready to hire a president of basketball operations, Chauncey Billups, who certainly is an expert, and all of a sudden the interim general manager basically took over from there along with Mike Gansey. I really believe to guide this organization successfully, they need to hire an everyday president of basketball operations that's a basketball expert. A lot of teams are resorting to hiring ex-players, James Jones and Elton Brand and some others. What's your opinion on that?
I still remember the whole thing, William, and thank you very much for the call. I know that Chauncey Billups probably knows a lot about basketball, but, man, when he was talking about some of those picks, didn't they have him for the draft, and he was getting teams and schools and all coaches wrong and all that stuff? I was like, ooh, geez, you didn't watch any of this.
The offer that they made for Chauncey was so offensively low.
Good.
That was all. Sorry. That was all cosmetic. The whole going after Chauncey thing, turns out it was all cosmetic. I don't think they were ever very serious about that because the offer they made him was really low.
I have asked some people over at the Cavs, explain to me what the setup is if Dan can't be Dan the way that he was Dan, which we know what that means.
Yep.
He, like some owners you see in sports, very hands-on.
Yep.
Right? I mean, you even heard the story that they did a really cool thing. They went to Detroit, they went to his home, they did a walkthrough in his basketball court, and they showed him film.
Yep.
That's the type of owner he wants to be. He wants to be in on those things. If he can't be that, then you have one of the youngest GMs in the league, and who's really above him? Does the buck stop there? I think that's what the caller's saying when William's talking about president of basketball ops.
Howard in North Royalton, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, first of all, on the Cavs, you know what? I'm going to look at them as a sub. And if you think the last 10 years, right, the last five, make it 10 years, 10, 11 years, we've been in the championship, the NBA finals, what, five times? Granted, we only won one, but we've been in there five times. Think about the mindset of the fans, how spoiled, I don't want to say spoiled, but I'm making my point, how spoiled we really are and our expectations. And at this point, if you look at the team, I think what Lima said about Love possibly being traded, I actually think that's going to happen. I will be shocked if he's still here at the end of the season. And at that point, unless you get a guy growing up, and let's talk about LeBron, growing up in Akron, being loyal to the area, a superstar like that, just to get there, look what it took. And you had to parlay that with all the great draft picks we had, throughout the years, getting Kyrie and stuff like that and making the trade for Love. That puts us in a really precarious situation. And I got to tell you, I don't even really have the desire, again, maybe me being a little spoiled, to even go to a Cavs game. I mean, unless they're free tickets or something like that, I don't know. And like last year was such a disappointment, I thought they'd at least be a play of 500, and that didn't even happen,
Yep. Yeah. Howard, thank you very much for the call. I'm actually more excited to go to a Cavs game now. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
The franchise existed for 40-some-odd years and never made a finals until LeBron showed up. And
you need good players. He's the best player they've ever had.
I understand, but I'm saying the franchise existed for 40-some-odd years and never made a finals before he showed up. So, and then the plan was try and get him back. So the last 10 years have revolved around LeBron. That's gone. So now they have to do it on their own.
I don't know. I saw Bronny Jr. nearly throw down a dunk the other day. So
you just wait for him to come.
Well, you know
right
what?
A roll. Let's
it's
go.
Probably a better plan than some of the ones they've unveiled in the past. 216-578-0092 around the AFC North. You're not going to want to miss it. If you do, get radio.com rewind. But you're going to want to hear around the AFC North coming up at 9 o'clock. We go around. We hear it all. And especially about the Baltimore Ravens with the Cleveland Browns. That coming up at 9. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.